Okay, so Subi Katz began her move. All right, yeah, hooting and hollering. That's encouraged. To Hood River about 15 years ago. On a road trip from Atlanta to Oregon, she made what was meant to be a quick stop in Colorado. You can see where this is going. But Subi took one look at the mountains and decided to stay. 5 years later, in her typical style of leap and the net will appear, Subi moved to Portland for a career change while the nation's economy was crashing. 6 months later, she visited Hood River with no intention of staying. I think we're developing a theme here. And now she's lived here longer than anywhere else. She's the owner of the Subi Salon, and her guilty pleasure is Netflix, a bottle of wine, and her knitting. She also loves to travel, but if she's being honest, really only to Europe. And the title of her tale is My American Story, Subi Katz.
How about now? Oh, can you hear me now? Okay. All right, here we go. So I was 48 years old when I married my soulmate. It took a long time to find him. In my fantasy, we would meet in Paris or Manhattan, not Hood River, Oregon. And he wouldn't be divorced with three kids. But to be fair, in this fantasy, I also wouldn't be hard to deal with. It would just be really easy. So that wasn't our movie, but there was no doubt that he was my guy. From the very beginning, we had a deep connection. On our first official date to Portland, we didn't want dinner to end, and so we're drinking wine, having a great time, talking, conversations getting deeper. You know, that energy, it was thick. So at some point in the evening, he's telling me the story about when his mom died, and I fell asleep. Yeah, so this is something I do. It doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing, I absolutely can't control it. It's kind of an embarrassing party trick. I'm told that I am always smiling and nodding like I'm paying attention, but my eyes are closed, and I always have a glass of wine in my hand, which, by the way, I never spill. So, one of my friends actually has a collection of photos of me sleep smiling in various restaurants and parties. Pretty entertaining. So thankfully, my husband and I made it past that very memorable first date. And now he does Subi imitations, which is also pretty entertaining. All right, on to my talk. I'm reading a book right now that is reminding me what it felt like when I first started learning how to be American. When I arrived in this country at 20, I didn't know how to drive, and I didn't know anyone. And I remember landing and being freaked out by the size of the cars and the roads. Everything was huge. I mean, like, going to the grocery store was like wandering a museum. It was, it kind of made me feel the opposite of claustrophobic, but with that same panicky feeling. But I was determined to fit in. This was the promised land of freedom and opportunity, where people were carefree and happy. There was plenty to go around. Sun was shining, and as far as I could tell, no one was afraid of running out. So the first thing I did was try on an affectation of laid back and cool. You know, life is easy, man, relax. So I chewed gum and I asked less personal questions. I saw all the California chicks tossing their hair, so I tried that. It was whatever. I like learned these phrases and isms, and I inserted them really awkwardly, and I was hoping no one would notice. It was all very young stuff. So, and actually, one of my first embarrassing memories, it's embarrassing in retrospect, because at the time I didn't know any better, but It was going to the beach, and I had never shaved the top half of my legs, like, ever, and just the bottom half. And I'm Italian and Jewish, so you can imagine. So here I am on a beach in LA, of all places, with my dark, hairy half legs and my top off. And no one in England ever sunbathed with their bikini top. So, needless to say, no one was buying that I was from America. The first question I always got is, where are you from? And I discovered that in common vernacular, that was a way to talk to someone without actually having to talk to them. It was something called small talk, and I had to learn it. So it went something like this. Where are you from? Well, we moved around a lot when I was growing up, but I was born in California. Oh, what part? San Francisco. Love the Bay Area. Where did you live? Well, we left before I was one. You know, we didn't stay in one place very long. Oh, your dad was military. No, my mom was a free spirit hippie type. So this was usually enough. People would laugh knowingly and move on. But I was always petrified that I'd blow my cover because I didn't fit into a checkable box. So here's where I'm from. I was born in an Indian cult, yes, in America, but I lived in a commune isolated from the outside world. The only time we went out on the streets was to like chant and dance, the shaved heads and the orange robes. I was in the Hare Krishnas. So I'll start by painting a picture of an average day. It began with a 4 a.m. worship service. Well, actually before that, a cold shower and a loincloth. We were never allowed to be naked, and showering was not for pleasure. The service was this long-winded event, incense, horns, flowers, chanting. And then we would sit on the floor for a long lecture and readings from the scriptures. So men in the front, women and children in the back. And falling asleep resulted in punishment. Breakfast was a bowl of lumpy, mass-produced gruel of some sort. We all lined up for our serving. Then we'd sit in rows on the floor, and men first, then women and children. And it didn't matter how awful it was. It all had to be eaten, or there was punishment. If you threw up, your face was rubbed in it. So I should warn you right now, this isn't going to be a light story. So then it was time for school. Now, this requires some explanation. The leader of the cult didn't believe in the American school system, which some of us may agree with that, but he called them slaughterhouses. He also didn't believe in the nuclear family. So family life was regarded as a symbol of spiritual weakness. So we were taken away from our parents between the ages of 4 to 6 and put in an ashram.